Welcome to episode 3 of Confessions of a Casting Director. I'm your podcast host, Jen Rudin. Today, we are joined by writer-producer Brittany Portman. Brittany and I first met when she was a child actor and I was a casting executive at the Walt Disney Company. And then we reconnected this past year when she hired me to be the casting director for her TV show, Hooked. Brittany was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and her love for New York and theater began at age 6, right after seeing Annie on Broadway. She went on to appear in 3 national tours of Annie and the national tour of The Sound of Music. And her television credits include The Education of Max Bickford, One Life to Live, The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and more. These days, Brittany has stepped behind the camera, having developed a passion for creating, writing, and producing. She earned her film studies degree from the prestigious Barnard College, and with an incredible team by her side, Brittany is now focusing all her energy into making Hooked the next big TV show. She has joined forces with the director of Hooked, Anthony Patelis, and together they have created Brittany Productions, and this is their first project together. So please join me in welcoming Brittany Portman to the podcast.
We are on with Brittany Portman. We actually met when you were a child actor and I was a casting executive at Disney. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course. I remember you saw me in Annie in Los Angeles at the Pantages. I got this phone call from my agent at the time, and it said that, you know, you saw me in it. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool, because that's the whole magic of LA is like, you know, you never know what could happen, like who you could meet. And so, and then I auditioned for you.
That's right. It's like a lifetime ago, and now we're both grown-ups.
Isn't that wild?
So before we talk about Hooked, let's talk about the fact that we were both child actors.
Oh, yes. Great times.
But you were successful. So how did you get into it? And of course, how did you deal with all the highs and lows of this crazy business?
So I got into it because growing up, I grew up in Atlanta, and my mom would take me to see shows at the local theater there, and it would take me up to New York quite often to see Broadway shows, and I just fell in love with it immediately. I mean, the first show that I saw was Annie, and I just became obsessed, and I was like, I have to be in show business. And so I would try out for shows in Atlanta, and I got into some local shows like Joseph, The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Annie, and it just did not stop. And I just kept, like, it was addicting because I just had so much fun being up on stage.
And did you guys move to New York to pursue the career?
I did.
Wow, you're lucky.
It was like half for that reason. The other half, I already had family up in New York, so made it easier.
And are you an only child?
No, I have two siblings that are way older than I am. Those are the family members that were already living in New York.
Oh, so you were really lucky that your family was able to make the move.
Absolutely.
So can you share the craziest audition story from when you were a child?
The craziest? Oh my gosh, I have one. This is hilarious because I actually made an episode about this with Hooked last year. So when I was a teenager, I thought I had a good enough meal, you know, and but I guess it was just a combination of nerves and probably just mainly just nerves, you know. And I've been on so many auditions at that time, but the nerves never, you know, got any better. It was just more like how to just cope with it. But this one time, like during the audition, I'm just trying to get through it. You know, the casting director notices something like a little off. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And then shortly after I finished my scene, I passed out.
Wow. Fainted.
Yeah. That was not good.
Yeah, I've seen it all with kids. I've never had anyone faint, but I've definitely had like stomach things happen, kids getting nervous, going to the bathroom. I hope you were okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was like fine, honestly, like immediately after it happened. I had a banana and then that was it.
And did you get the part?
No, unfortunately not. But I mean, that would have been a better story. But
no, that's a good one.
One in the books to remember.
So how did you deal with the rejection? Because I feel like for me, the highs and lows were so high and so low. Did you have a mother that talked you through it? A support system?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like it was every single part that I would audition for that I'd be so excited, wanting it so badly. And because I was just so young, and then when you get rejected, you know, of course I would like, you know, really be upset. I would cry, but you know, my mom would always make me feel like better and say, you know, there's always, you know, another part. On to the next one, you know, the game of that business.
That's good. I feel like it always starts at home. And certainly I've met my share of parents, and some are wonderful and grounded, and some get right into it, and it's their child being judged, and they just go nuts. If you could give yourself, your younger self, some advice, is there anything you would say to her now, knowing what you know?
I would say, ooh, that's a good one. There are a couple of things. I would say, be patient. And I would say, okay, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, even though at the time every part was so important to me at the time, I feel like now that I'm older, not that I'm acting anymore, but I'm just a bit, I feel like I would be more picky. And not that, like, every part that I tried out for back then, I was, you know, I thought were fantastic. But I would just say, like, not to be so hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's good perspective. You're also extremely grounded and level-headed.
So my mother, you know, because she just, like, you know, I had, besides, you know, just being in show business, just as much of a normal life as possible. You know, I went to school, you know, have friends, sleepovers, all of the things you could think of.
Yeah, that's so important because I feel like when I meet so many child actors, they're sometimes missing the social component. They're homeschooled. It just makes me want to hire kids who are in the real world, interacting and dealing with everything you have to deal with at school. So what was it like on tour?
Honestly, I had the best time on tour.
How old were you?
So the tour that you saw me in, I was 14 and 15.
Okay.
And at that time, you know, middle school socially, you know, was very, very tough because as I was going more into show business, you know, I couldn't relate to a lot of kids at school because nobody really had an appreciation for musical theater, at least the people that I knew at that time. And so when I was on tour, it was such a great, like, escape, I should say. But also, it was also a great way for me to meet some other kids that were, and they were all very normal kids too, which was an amazing plus. And, you know, no stage mothers whatsoever. And we got to see a bunch of cities that I probably would have never seen. But these are also, you know, kids that I met that are friends for life.
That's nice to hear. That's really nice to hear. So what was the craziest thing that happened on tour? Somebody tripped and broke their ankle. Somebody didn't show up.
Nothing like that happened. Okay, there's like one thing. I guess it's kind of crazy just because it did happen, but not like, you know, it was definitely not on purpose. But there were two girls that got sick, and we only have one understudy for all of the kids, who was actually an adult.
Yep.
So she had to go on for two parts, and, you know, there's sometimes where the lines wouldn't make sense because it should be from somebody else. But, you know, we all just, you know, really, like, we're team players at that time because, like, I have no other choice.
Six orphans instead of seven?
Yeah, at one point.
Five at one point. You totally lived my dream because I produced, cast, starred, and wrote in my fifth grade production of Annie and lost more friends at that time. But anyway, let's move on because we could certainly talk about Annie for an hour. You decided to go to Barnard College.
Did.
And have a normal college existence.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that I did that because, you know, like I said, you know, I did go to, you know, I met a lot of normal kids growing up, but I really got to experience normalcy in college. And but it was definitely like an adjustment because there were a lot of kids that were already ahead, you know, socially in terms of dating or, you know, being in groups or any kind of social setting. So there were times that were definitely, it was hard, especially dating wise. But otherwise that, I mean, you know, when you meet
when you're in college, you meet so many different people and you're all kind of the same. You're all new, you know, it's not like in high school where there are certain cliques and popularity, and it just doesn't exist in college.
And were you dating guys at Columbia and NYU?
Both. I went on dates, I should say, from both schools, yes.
And that brings us to Hooked. So it's a really small world. I was in Florida visiting my fabulous 91-year-old father-in-law when Janine Molinari, the amazing dance instructor, texted me. And she said, my husband's directing a pilot and I want to get you guys in touch. So I said, sure, as we were at the Atlantic Ocean eating lunch, looking at the sun. And then Anthony Patella sent me all the material and I saw your name and my photographic memory said, I remember Brittany. This is amazing. So tell me a little bit about Hooked and where you are now with the project.
Well, so actually, funny thing about with you coming in, I don't know if you know this or not, but because I had remembered you, I didn't know if you would necessarily remember me because it was so long ago. And so, but I knew, I told Janine, I was like, we have to get Jen Rudin because, you know, she's an amazing casting director and because, like, I know her from back in the day. And so once we had that phone call reconnecting and you remember me, I was so excited. I was so, so excited.
You're very sweet. What was it like to be in a casting session behind the table?
That was everything I wanted. Because as a kid, I always was curious what kind of notes would people be making, like, you know, behind the desk and, you know, how they immediately be able to see what they're looking for. And now that I've been behind the desk, it's, for me at least, it's immediate. It's just kind of that gut intuition.
Now, some writer producers love it and some hate casting. Do you think you'll want to be in sessions in the future?
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things.
Oh, that's good to hear because we get such a bad reputation. Casting is endless. Sometimes we see 60 actors a day. There's no breaks. It's like retail. Lots of people coming into the store. It's nice to hear you had a good experience. So tell us about Hooked and your inspiration and what your plans are.
Sure. So Hooked's inspiration came from my lack of dating experience in college and how I would get myself into some really weird situations. And one of them, which I made into a short film in my film production class. And that was about when I was in the library one day and I met a guy and he invited me up for tea. I said yes, because I thought, well, it's the middle of the day. I don't think anything's going to happen. And B, usually from what I've witnessed, things happen at night at frat parties or after frat parties for that matter. I was completely wrong because after we did have tea, you know, 10 minutes later, he's asking me clothes on or off. And I completely freaked out. And I just thought to myself, wow, this is probably the weirdest encounter out of anything that I've had. And when I showed that as my short film, when I saw people's reactions, I thought to myself, this could be something. This could be a television show. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, Girls was really popular. It was on television. And I thought to myself, this could be like a younger version of Girls and Sex and the City.
And how has Me Too influenced the work?
You know, it's funny because it's just an amazing coincidence that I've been doing Hooked while Me Too has been going on. I would say it really does connect with it because it's always these situations that are borderline. I mean, they're obviously uncomfortable, but also just borderline not okay. And, you know, these aren't necessary in the show. It's not necessarily situations that, you know, would get, it would just give people like certain men, you know, just not good reputations, but it's not all the way to the extent of like what happens with Me Too.
Yeah, that's good to know. Things have really changed. And I'm wondering what men are thinking when they go on a date with a woman now, you know, with consent and all of that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the cast. Tell us about the cast of the show. Some fun people.
Yeah. And by the way, they were all absolutely amazing and good people. We had no divas, which is fantastic. But they were just all so invested in the work. So it just it made me so happy. So we had Catherine Curtin, who plays the mother, Rainey. She is a brilliant, brilliant actress, but also such like a good person. Mm-hmm. And we had Andy Carl, who played Connor Carlisle, who plays the young girl's stepfather, who was hilarious.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
And I just love watching him.
And Kathy Gerton's been a friend for 20 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's good people.
I agree. She is. And we also had John Lovitz, who played Mr. Campbell. He's the admissions director at the college. And I mean, he was just absolutely hilarious because every take that, you know, we used for him, I mean, you could use any of them, really. And we also had Eric Close, who mm-hmm. is, he plays the detective who's, you know, watching the cult with some of the guys. And, you know, even though he was just in like a couple of, you know, scenes, I mean, and same with a lot of the actors, I mean, you know, they all just put their all into it. And I mean, just such a very, very sweet guy.
Actors just want to act, as my friend Jason Kravitz says, which is true.
Yeah, it's so true. And it was cool to see because I've never worked with, you know, such high caliber actors. So it was such like a, such a really like surreal experience to see it all happen and all of them just be such wonderful people.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to see Hooked. Can you tell us where to follow you and find you and your Twitter if you're still doing that?
Yeah, so you can find, we're on, Hooked is called at Hooked Show on Instagram. It's Hooked on Twitter. For myself, I'm on Twitter as Brittany J. Portman. And same with on Instagram. And Hooked is also on Facebook as well. So we're all over the place.
Great. Well, thank you for being my very first guest, for which you will always now have that credit. And I can't wait to see Hooked. And I am so glad our paths reconnected. We wish you so much luck.
So that was Brittany Portman, the very first guest on the Confessions of a Casting Director podcast. To keep up with Brittany Portman and all things Hooked, you can follow Hooked Show on Facebook and Instagram, and you can follow Brittany Portman at Brittany J. Portman on Twitter and Instagram. For more episodes of Confessions of a Casting Director and to buy your signed copy of Confessions of a Casting Director just in time for a stocking stuffer or Hanukkah gift, please visit jenrudencasting.com. Till next week, this is Jen Rudin. Thanks for listening.